Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned ya.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios, at least one of us, located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude. This is Real Spoilers, episode 694. You heard it on the X.
X gonna give it to you.
Some ZZ Top for you. Oh. So, that's a ZZ Top song.
No, I went DMX, but that's fine.
Oh, I see.
It's a generational
thing. Yeah,
because
you're like 30 years younger than I am.
So correct.
I went with ZZ Top. You went with something from the early 2000s that somehow is also old but still makes me look even older. So
correct.
Let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And joining us via the magic of ZoomTube, well, everybody, but a special guest, Matt F. Basler. Hey, how's it going?
Hello. It's going well.
For some of us.
For some of us. So so the reason we're back to the virtual roundtable is because Rona has struck the O'Keefe household. The lovely and talented Clip-Out Crystal has contracted the Rona. Somehow, I have managed to avoid it. I don't know how. But
Do you guys hang out?
You do.
Much?
Or... Yeah. And, like we're keeping separate, but, like, we're still, like, she's still sitting in the chair next to me. Like, we're still sleeping...
Well,
the
they've still
bed.
Got the two twin beds next to each
correct.
Other.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, right.
Like the Dick Van Dyke
right.
show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't want to describe your relationship like that. But.
So she's got the Rona. So far, not too bad. I mean, she's not feeling well, but it's not like we're like concerned about, you know, she's not on a respirator.
Are so we three for three?
We haven't cracked open the ivermectin.
So think, well, because that's going to work.
Well, wait a minute. My wife got it, Joe's wife got it, and yep. Tom's wife got it. And none of us have gotten it that we know of, right?
The common denominator, you should just do a podcast and you won't get corona.
See, it's that's what they say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't do that. Don't listen to that.
Except you know that my wife has a podcast, right? In fact, she has three.
A more successful
one. Well, is
than
that
ours,
what we're calling
too.
That little hobby?
Yeah. she's the only one of us that actually gets paid to do it.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
true.
How
that's
that
a good point.
Out.
Isn't that the kicker, though, is that we set all this up and we've been doing this almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And then she's like, hey, I'd like to do a podcast about Peloton. And then it becomes the only one that's professional.
Yes. Well, I'm like a professional sidekick. That counts for something, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah. Man. So, and then also on top of that, yesterday I went and got my COVID booster. So, and then while
weird.
I was there, they were like, you're eligible for more vaccines. And so I also got a shingles vaccine. So,
oh, man. You're
I'm
on
all,
a roll.
I'm all jacked up.
Should have got the monkeypox vaccine while you were there.
I don't think they have one. I think I'm immune because I've seen them so many times.
Oh, true.
I've met
true.
All four of them.
That's
so
a good point. Yeah.
I feel like
I did
I'm
not
saying.
Know where that joke was going to go, and I was a little worried.
Well, I just thought, who are the monkeypox?
It's a punk rock cover band for the monkeys.
Okay. It's spelled different. Yeah. It's P-A-W-X.
Okay.
I would totally go see a punk rock monkeys cover band.
So it's an EDM cover band of the monkeys.
Something like that.
I'm with you.
So I guess before we dig into the show, I guess I should also say if I sound extra cranky, we should let the listeners in on this little piece of fun trivia. So my wife woke up Thursday morning feeling like, she's like, oh, I think I'll take a COVID test. And she tested positive. So
and that pissed you off?
Well, we were supposed to leave for Hawaii the next day. So
that's fair.
The whole Hawaii trip has been scuttled.
I feel like that's a good enough reason to
I mean,
be
she
a
didn't do
cranky.
Anything wrong, but it's very frustrating. We were supposed to go to Hawaii in March of 2020. Or, I'm sorry, in June of 2020.
What happened?
Yeah. you needed to get a subscription to the newspaper.
newspaper? What is this? Old-timey.
So we rescheduled it, and so we thought, we're going to be great. And then the day before we leave, she gets the Rona, and so we had to cancel the whole.
Ugh, that sucks. Double time.
Luckily, we had the insurance, so hopefully.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully that actually pays off, because it was not inexpensive.
No.
So.
Next time you guys plan for this trip, I'm going to need you guys to quarantine for 2 weeks before you leave. You are not to interact with anyone.
Nobody's going anywhere. So.
Lock down this house.
Yes. So, okay, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us. You never miss an episode. Maybe leave a review. Joe's not interrupting me, so I'm assuming we don't have a new review.
No. I'll tell you what, though. If you go on to like Good Pods, if you use that as a podcatcher, which is actually a pretty nice little thing, you can vote for real spoilers in the independent movie review category. And the I wouldn't mind. We're number 84, I think, right now out of 100. So
okay,
yeah,
vote for us and we'll get bumped up, and that'd be kind of cool. If you use it, it's a good podcatcher. If you want to use it, I haven't had any problems with it.
Well,
since
it's right there in the name, Joe.
That's true. That is true.
I'm holding out for Great Pod.
Ooh, business idea. I like it.
So, also, where was I at? Oh, Facebook. Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, where you can stay up to date with our things throughout the week. Like while you're there, like the page, join the group. And if you like the show and you want to help us and you don't want to spend any money, you can join the League of Show Sharers. It's super simple. You just need to share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week, Librarian Cynthia, which I don't know that I should say her name only because she lives in Hawaii and I'm mad at them. Edward Fairfax. Tammy Sherman Powers, Heather Sachs, David Rojas, Josh Rosen, Ralph Tribble, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Valls, Chris Magic Man, The Real Pete. That's how he spells it.
Okay.
Brad, 1991, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Vertigay 314, Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, Mike and Oscar, In Session Film, Feelin' Film, Geek to Me Radio, Ronnie Castle, Nostalgia Cast, Binge Movies, Josh 674, 30274, Matt Naglia, Invasion of the Remake, and Chris Wilson. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. And if you want to help us out, but you're like, I've got money burning a hole in my pocket, you can sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. Unfortunately, most of it contains Matt F. Bassler.
And, it's fair. No, it's fair.
But and
this
then,
was for free, baby.
And we have there's like a clause in his contract that every 15 Patreon episodes he does, he gets to be on one actual episode.
I like it.
Yeah. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in to this snooze of a movie.
Oh, So here's the thing is Matt and I covered the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series in its entirety.
Yes.
And if there had just been one that was at least anywhere near as good as this movie, it wouldn't have been as bad because that's what this is very much like inspired by that series. This is fantastic. I loved this movie. Have we covered Ty West on this podcast before?
I don't think that we've done any of his stuff before.
I don't think we have. So he's just a really interesting filmmaker in that there was this, you know, there was this boom of horror movies with James Wan and Scott Derrickson. And then there was like this undercurrent of like independent horror that was A.J. Bowen and Ty West and the guy that did the King Kong versus Godzilla.
That was probably Wingard. My favorite little indie.
Yeah, the art house horror. Yeah.
Adam Wingard is that guy's name.
I just call him the VHS guys.
That's also a fair statement.
I mean, it's all the indie horror guys got together to those VHS movies, which were pretty cool.
And a lot of those guys have come out and gotten snatched up by, like, Gareth Edwards was part of that, and then those three guys. And Radio Silence is in there.
It's like the minor leagues, right? They do all that stuff, and then they've all been called up to these big, you know, studio horror films.
Yeah, right. And now they're able to kind of
We need something like that for podcasts.
Yeah.
No, Spotify just gives you a massive check.
Guys, not just us. Letting you know, I'm I've been called up to the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend show.
Well, he really doesn't need a friend, I guess. If he tapped you.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
It's worse than we thought.
But yeah, I just think this is very much in the Ty West slow burn, and I know that Tom called it a snooze, but all three of his movies, the Sacrament, four, I guess, including this one, do have like that very slow burn.
What were the other ones? Have I seen them and maybe like them?
So there was The Innkeepers.
No.
There was The Sacrament, which is kind of like I told Matt, it's like Vice News. If Vice News had gone to Jonestown before it happened. And then The House of the Devil.
I don't think I saw one.
So a lot of these are, again, the more indie horror movies. And with Tom, you not being a horror guy,
yeah,
and we haven't covered them, I don't think you would have seen
them. I watched one. I don't know what it was called anymore, but it was about like two kids and like the dad gets remarried. And then there's like lots of footage of like this little dollhouse diorama.
The Lodge. Oh.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Oh, man.
I dug that one. Thought that was really good.
Yeah, that is really good. That's another slow burn where you're just like,
yeah, but it paid
is she
off?
Crazy? Is she not crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that movie a lot.
That's not Ty West, though.
No, but I...
It's completely unrelated. I don't know why you brought it up at all.
It's indie horror.
Indie horror, okay.
It might be an A24 movie.
What's that?
It might be an A24 movie now that I think about it.
But it's in that style. I get what you mean. So with this one, I think I lean more on the Joe side just because I really like it when horror has a buildup and it's uncomfortable and you're not quite sure what's going on and you're guessing, is there something supernatural? Is there some kind of weird element? You're trying to figure out what type of danger the characters are in. And this movie does something where the movie is basically split into almost half, where the first hour of the movie is the buildup of the characters and you're trying to figure out what they're doing and what the danger is. And then the last 45 minutes is straight murders.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's not, they don't leave much of the imagination when it comes to the murders. Like
the kills and the gore in this movie, I mean, the very first one that you get with the camera guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy.
Yeah. Which I think that camera guy should stop going to like remote houses because he's also in the remake of Evil Dead.
No, he's the guy that looks like the guy from the
Evil
Dead.
It's not the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
Oh.
We had this same conversation.
This app means nothing to anyone but me. He looked almost exactly like my former brother-in-law.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, like I called
I've
in my...
I've never seen him, sorry.
What's that?
I've never seen him. I was just kidding. Sorry.
I was like, when did you see him? But I even called in my son. I was like, look at this. Doesn't this look like your Uncle Scott? And he's like, oh, my God, it totally looks like Uncle Scott. So,
have you heard from Uncle Scott since 1979?
Now that you mention it.
But, yeah, so like this is... It is very much... We've got six characters that are... it's 1979 in, I guess they don't really say where they are.
Hold on. I think you mentioned that on the Evil Dead remake because I'm having major deja vu about this conversation about Uncle Scott. You must have on Evil Dead remake said that guy looks exactly like.
No, I was not on that episode. I never saw the Evil Dead remake.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm freaked out.
Who was? Oh my gosh.
Did we do? We did it, right? We must have.
I thought so. I wonder if it was Patreon, maybe not.
That's or something. I've never seen it.
Yeah. No, that's weird. It's just I've had major deja vu, and we're going to go back and like watch and see a ghost Tom sitting in the chair.
So it's 1979 in Texas, and we're introduced to six people, and they are our main character. Well, not really. The leader
sometimes
of this group, I guess. Yeah. Is the proprietor of a strip joint, and he has taken two of his acts, I guess, and they're going to make a porn, but they're going to make like a classy porn.
Well, this is a French new wave influenced, high end.
We're post Deep Throat or Debbie Does Dallas, which had kind of Deep Throat was the one that kind of like got like weird critical attention, right?
It was like the first and I think arguably only porn movie to ever like break out. I think not adjusted for inflation, it legit made like $125 million. It was
a
juggernaut, and it just became this kind of like cool thing to go see, and then it kind of gets this second life because it's the code name that the source that broke the Watergate scandal.
Right,
used.
Right.
And so, but I mean, it was like the first porn movie where it was like 50 Shades of Grey, right? Like, oh, I don't read dirty books, but somehow 50 Shades was okay, right? And so
fair.
It was like,
yeah.
If you went to the porn palace or whatever they had back then to just see some random porn movie, you're a perv. But if you could go
palace.
See Deep Throat and be like, oh, I'm seeing this ironically because it's what everyone's talking about.
So Wayne, who is played by Martin Henderson, has Bobby Lynn, who is played by Brittany Snow, Jackson, who is Kid Cudi, Jenna Ortega, who plays Lorraine, which is kind of fun since she was our lead in Scream, and then Mia Goth, who plays Maxine. And I don't know, should I just spoil that she's also the
sure
it's the whole point of the show?
Yeah,
that, thank you. Oh, you're right, Matt, thank you for reminding me.
I'm glad someone here is able to.
Cooler heads have prevailed.
She also plays Pearl, which I didn't realize at first watch.
The whole time I'm just like, there's something weird going on, and weird in addition to old people murdering people. But you know, with the way that it's filmed and the way that she looks, it's obviously very unnerving. But I'm also like, there's a reason they're shooting it like this, and come to find out, there's the. They're played by the same person. They can't. It's very clever, and I'm going to say it's well handled. I don't mean that it stood out like, oh, that was terrible. I mean, he does a good job, but clearly if you watch enough movies, you ask yourself, why is it being shot this way? It's
They're clearly young people in old people makeup.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
At no point was I like, these are really old people.
But it's good, though. It's not
good-ish.
Bad makeup. It's
not awful.
I think it's serviceable makeup.
It never fooled me.
Yeah.
I think she did a really good job. Mia Goth, kind of getting like the walk, or you know, like she didn't when she was Pearl, she shuffled or she didn't move quickly. But then she'd have moments where, because we're led to believe that Pearl was a dancer a very long time ago. So
well, she says she was, so it's not, you know.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
We're led to believe by her saying by a factual statement
from
the picture.
she has moments where she kind of falls back into
Joe's favorite song from the 90s was "We Are Led to Believe Rhythm Was a Dancer."
Yes, that's correct. I love that song. I really don't. I hate that song. but like she has moments where she kind of falls
so
back into
horny.
Horny, very like this is a very horny movie.
Like she should be in a Golden Girls reboot. She wants the D.
I will say now. Look, I just, you know, it's a movie about how old people are disgusting and awful and terrifying.
Right?
And
like,
I
that's,
agree.
That's the
and
big.
I agree.
That's it's big horror movie. Like, isn't it weird when old people?
and I gotta tell you, that scene is weird. It's very uncomfortable, and I think that's on purpose. But,
I like the. It's cool that those old people are so horny. Good for them.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is.
Well, I think he is, right. He just can't do anything.
I guess that's true.
His heart
will
explode.
My heart will explode.
Is that even really a thing? That like a doctor's like, you can't have sex anymore, it'll blow up your heart. Like, that just sounds like something men who aren't attracted to their wives anymore say.
I don't know, though. I think it is because, you know, there's all those studies that come out that say, oh, people that have sex at least 2 times a week have better heart health or whatever. Like, doing it actually is medically proven to increase your life and your heart health.
Okay, so would that doctor then turn around and say, your heart's really bad, whatever you do, don't exercise?
Don't bang your wife.
Well, I just mean that if it is enough to keep your heart healthy, there's enough activity going to where if you had a bad heart, I bet it would push it over the...
I mean, the way he dies at the end...
All it took was like somebody went, bleh.
That's what I'm saying, though, right? Like, so an overexertion.
So he lived in a world where no one ever startled him? Like, come on.
Well, they live on an old remote... I don't think anyone... visits these people hard. They're like,
old Volkswagen guy visited.
Yeah,
him.
Volkswagen guy definitely visited. I don't know how cognizant he was of what was going on, but
so there's a lot going on in this movie, though. Like, it is saying a lot. It's not just a dirty movie and about people getting, you know, knocked off while they're making this film. So the old people are realizing in different ways that their life has passed them by. The Pearl, the old woman, had all these dreams of being a dancer, but the war started, and then she probably had to go be a nurse or help with that kind of stuff, and her husband went off to war, and so she didn't get to pursue her dreams, and her age has passed her by, and now it's too late, but she still has these things she wants to do, dance, have sex, all this. And, you know, the husband is having these medical issues, and so it's talking about age passing you by and the youth and not wasting your age. And there's also this parallel going back and forth between both these characters that Mia Goth plays, mm-hmm. because while Pearl is jealous of the youth and the life they still have ahead of them, Maxine is talking about how she's special. And we see in the film that the husband calls Pearl special, and Wayne talks about how special Maxine is. And so there's this interesting dichotomy going back and forth between them being told they are special, but wanting to actually live out how special they are, right? Like, not just being told, but they want to live out this life. And it has already passed Pearl by, but Maxine wants to be a movie star, and she's hearing the promise of this, and she's like, show me, you better make me a star.
I gotta tell you, Wayne might be my favorite character of this entire movie.
He's good. I like that they didn't make him just a scumbag. He's had his troubles. He made a movie and the IRS came after him or whatever happened there. I'm sure there's like some half-truths, but he doesn't seem like he's taking advantage of anyone or being a bad dude.
No. I think everybody's kind of on board. And when we get to the scene where Jenna Ortega, who is kind of, they keep calling her church mouse because she doesn't really say anything, and she's helping her boyfriend with the boom mic, and she kind of decides she wants to be in this movie, and the camera dude is like, no. And it's like this, I wouldn't say crisis of faith, but maybe like a crisis of relationship.
Well, that's also a really interesting point, is that the cameraman is involved in the making of this dirty movie. He's sitting there filming it. He's telling them how to actually act and what positions and to moan. So he's totally all into this until it affects him and his girlfriend wants to be in it, right?
I do love that scene with Kid Cudi where he's like, he's giving him direction, and Kid Cudi's just like, hey, man, you worry about the camera. I'll worry about this over here.
Yeah.
And they kind of laugh at him, and he's kind of nerdy a little bit, and they continue doing what they were doing.
But, you know, again, that's another thing that this movie has a lot to say, because even though, you know, they're not right getting into the killing and all that, but we're learning about all these characters and their past, things they've tried to do, things that they want to do, their goals, their dreams. And then you also see these different things to where people can be hypocritical with the cameraman and how his girlfriend wants to do something. She's like, well, you're making a movie and you say everyone's going to be stars in it. I don't want to just hold the boom make. Like, this is my chance to actually do something. And he's willing to stop her from living out her dream or some of her goals.
I don't even know if it's a dream as much as it's like she doesn't want to be a church mouse.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know if her dream was to be in a porn.
No, not her dream. I mean, I just used that word. I'm saying she's interested in pursuing this, and maybe she has the chance to have a career, be famous, but because of his selfishness, he's fine if everybody else does it and everybody rails each other and all that, but not my girlfriend.
Well, they were.
She wants to have her own agency, right? Like, yeah, she wants to be her own person, not just an assistant to her boyfriend.
But if you're in a relationship, I don't think it's crazy that you don't want your significant other to go make a porn.
Yeah, we don't.
Well, that's fine,
podcast.
But right before that, he says, yeah, "Oh, when the camera's rolling, it's,
none of it counts." Yeah,
it
totally
doesn't count. Which that's just, I right. mean, you can still have your personal feelings, but it's just that. Hypocriticalness.
Yeah, like yes, he had just
yeah, that's what I'm
given a big speech about that.
Exactly. I'm not saying he's wrong or right. That's for the viewer to decide, and you have to look in the mirror, and you know, you can have your own feelings, what I would do in this situation or whatever. But right, if you talk a big game, and then when it comes to you, you have double standards. So I just think this movie really, and it's, you know, it's only an hour and 45 minutes, and I say only, but it's like, this is a pretty good time for a horror movie, but you know, some of these go on to two and a half hours. This movie keeps it under 2 hours, and you get a lot of killing on the back half, but in the first half, it's like,
it's,
I mean,
all character.
They explore a lot of stuff and don't. Yeah.
Well, and Kevin, I will say, I do think he is wrong. I think sex should really be like a handshake. When I come over... and we couldn't today because we're on Zoom.
I'm glad we're doing this remotely.
But when I come over to do the podcast, I think we should all pile in real quick, knock it out, ease the tension before we get on mic. No big deal. But that, you know, hey.
I think that might have the opposite effect there, Matt.
Interesting. And see, and that's what society's done to you.
And what Joe's saying is that you should wait until we're done because that tension...
Yeah,
fuel an episode
over the,
yeah, you
make
it
that
it
much
up, right? Yeah.
More intriguing.
Right.
Well, you've just given new meaning to real spoilers, I'll tell you that.
Much like how this movie built the tension.
Yes. No,
I was trying
right.
to be like a guy, like a real podcast guy, you know.
But... Why start now?
All of our characters end up going to this remote farm, and we're introduced to the two old folks, Pearl and her husband, and
Mr. Pearl.
And it's interesting because like they,
I think his name's Howard, right?
Sure. I mean, he's, yeah,
that sounds like an old guy name. Sure.
It does. Yeah, that's right. it is like they, obviously there's an era of uncomfortableness and uneasiness around these two, but we never see them until it's time to get to the killing, right?
Well,
like they pop up every once in a while.
The tension, the scariness of this movie, the horror element is that the old lady's peeking out from behind the curtain and Howard's saying, don't let my wife see you, you know, what, and the mystery revolving it, right? And they don't even really show Howard, and I don't know if that's a choice because of what the makeup looked like that day or whatever,
oh,
but
sure.
Howard is very much in the shadows too until they get inside of the cabin, whatever they're staying in, and it's like, oh, okay, he's there. Like, I couldn't figure out at first, is that a filmmaking choice, like, or for the story that you're not supposed to really see his face.
It is a very dark movie. I wasn't sure. I thought for a minute that, like, oh, this place doesn't have electricity. There's no light. They don't turn lights on for a long time.
That's true. They just use sunlight.
Well, I do think some of it is because the Pearl and Maxine are played by the same actor. Yeah. So especially when you get them, and there's some clever stuff too, because there's one scene where you see them both looking in a mirror, and there's a beam in the middle of the mirror from the background. So you're looking through the beam to the mirror, and so they can see them both in the same shot, but it's clearly two different shots put together. I think some clever stuff like that really worked well. No point in the movie did I say, like, oh, there's the body double. I mean, like, you knew that's how they had to film it, but it doesn't stand out. Ty West is a competent filmmaker, and I thought he did a really good job with those two interacting.
Yeah, I would agree. I think finally that's kind of the big thing is Maxine stumbles into the old person house. The house is very Texas Chainsaw Massacre inspired, like down to the big door and like the swinging screen, like all of it.
Oh, the layout is has
very
to be
similar,
intentionally
right?
the same, right?
Like, yeah, I thought the same thing.
Area.
Exactly. And this is where we get Pearl's backstory, where she kind of tells Maxine that she was a dancer, and you know, does she say that she still kind of feels young, or she misses feeling young? And it becomes very awkward.
She pokes like, her.
Is that what it is? She pokes her.
Gives her a little finger poke.
And,
or something.
And Maxine's like,
oh, I think
I gotta
she was
go.
Trying. I think she gave her a little finger feel.
Hey,
given the scene that we see between them later, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was like running, like she took her finger and like ran it down like the side because Maxine is wearing just overalls, she kind of like was petting her, and there's obviously this very creepy like the way that Pearl interacts with Maxine. She wants to be her or wants to be in a relationship with her. You know, it's not just a friendly thing. She's very clearly infatuated with her.
She wants the V.
She does want the V.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I got distracted by horny earlier. I was going to say that I liked that you kind of feel like, right, the whole plot of the movie, the thing of the movie is going to be that these old people don't want them to film a porno.
Right.
That they're going to see that and be mad and kill them or something. And then that it's not that. It's actually that they are also very horny. And I thought it was at least an interesting way to go.
They were
it.
Insulted that they weren't invited to participate.
If they had just had sex with these old people, they probably would have lived. Old cameraman.
That's probably true. That's
well, it taken if they had sex with the old guy, it would have taken him out. So, like,
exactly.
They'd only have to fight one at that point.
And Pearl would have been happy.
That's true, though, Matt. If old camera guy would have just taken one for the team, he would not. And I got it. That is, on first watch, you know something. We should say that. So, basically, after Jenna Ortega has sex on film, our camera guy cannot handle it. And he's like, screw this, I'm out. And he gets out to leave. And as he's getting into the van, of course, they play Don't Fear the Reaper, which I got to tell you, they played a lot of that song, which I was kind of surprised.
Once you pay for it, you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. But do you like, so that's a good, I've always wondered that. So if you, can you pay for a minute of it or do you just pay outright for the entirety of a song?
I'm honestly
you say, like,
not
I'm
sure.
only going to use this for 45 seconds. So I
think you pay for the whole song. You either pay for the whole song or you pay for the right for someone else to use the song, like the mechanical rights. But I don't think you go, hey, what? How much for 45 seconds or how much for 30? Yeah. You know.
Okay. That makes sense. I was just curious, like, because I feel like this is a pretty low budget and
it's cheaper for just the bridge.
Right.
This is a pretty low budget film,
but there's some big songs in it. There's that they sing songs. Landslide.
Like Landslide's the big one.
You would just pay for the mechanical rights because they sing it. They don't play the
and
Fleetwood Mac version.
And right. Brittany Snow can sing, right? We've seen that in Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, that's why they get away with that. Because when they started playing it, I'm like, oh wow. But then it's like, oh yeah, they're singing it. That's
right.
They wouldn't probably be able to afford the real thing.
Yeah,
but I couldn't find a budget on this, but I wouldn't call it low budget. It's more of a indie budget or an art house budget, but just not to give the wrong impression. The
movie is very
well made.
They weren't funding this movie on their credit cards.
Exactly.
Yes, that's fair. Yes. I mean, A24, I would say that. And then I think of the Michelle Yeoh movie that had to have.
Yeah. Oh, that was still, that was a very low budget as well.
Oh, was
that it? Yeah. Remember they got away with making that movie for like $30 million and we were so surprised how great it looked. Yeah.
So like if our cameraman goes outside and he sees the old woman standing there and she kind of makes a move on him, she makes a move on him and he rejects her and then out of nowhere, which I think is a great, cause you never see her other hand. Right. You never see it on camera. She kind of comes up and just like sticks him in the neck with this little pocket knife. And what I thought was a really cool effect is he kind of falls backwards and he's got the headlights on. And as the blood is like splurting from his neck, it gets onto the headlights and turns the entire thing like this shade of red.
And it's also foreshadowed by that cow that gets hit by the truck in the beginning of the movie.
Everything is
remember
foreshadowed.
You see it is there's Chekhov's alligator they really do set up every
the exact
kill.
Same thing to my wife. I was like, it's Chekhov's alligator.
Well, yeah, they even say like he I think that Walter is that his name
the alligator.
He says
I don't think they gave him a name.
You don't think so?
I assumed it was Alvin for some reason.
Oh, like, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Alvin the alligator. But
Alvin the alligator.
Yeah.
He says like when the old man kind of pulls a shotgun on him, he's like, oh, it's not loaded anyway. And the guy's like, oh, that's all right. Like, I keep one in the car, like a handgun, and that's not loaded. So that comes back into play. Obviously, the alligator definitely comes back into play.
But you see a lot of these setups. If you were to rewatch the film, you would be Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're all kind of there. And so I like that. And also in the beginning, when they see that truck accident with the cow, Mia Goth is throwing up and she's like, I don't like gore. And you're thinking, I think you're in the wrong movie.
Yeah.
Well, and don't you see the Volkswagen guy on the milk carton?
You do. There's a scene where Kid Cudi is like taking a big old swig of milk, and on the side of the milk carton is that. And I think we've already seen.
And not to be pedantic, let me push up my glasses.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't start putting missing people on milk cartons until 1984 after the disappearance of Adam Walsh. So,
is that right?
That is true. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
December of 84, I think it was. So actually, most people wouldn't have seen one until 85. So.
And this is 1979.
This is 1979.
They dropped the ball, Ty West.
Not a thing.
But I think we see. I think we see him. We see the hitchhiker first, I believe. Like we see him in the basement, which is another pretty good reveal.
Oh, we don't see him in the basement until almost near the end when Jenna Ortega's locked in there, and then
she stumbles across.
Is that right? Okay, I'm just trying to think. Yeah. Okay.
But she might already be down there when.
Yeah. I think Matt's right. She is down there because the old man comes to the house, and as Kid Cudi is drinking out of the milk, Jenna Ortega's already seen him in the basement. Like
then
we see him on the milk carton. We're like, oh well, all right.
I see.
We see him on the milk carton, and we all went, well, there's no way because.
what's the opposite of foreshadowing then? Post-shadowing? How do you do that?
That's just called narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom, this came up before you were on the little call here, and it's been eating away at me since watching this porn film. What is an entendre?
What is a single entendre?
Yeah.
I guess just like nice.
Okay. Because we had thought maybe it was like, hey, come in the back door, but I only mean.
Literally,
one way or the other.
Anal
I don't
sex.
Mean,
yeah, right.
Okay. No. We literally mean come in the back door.
So it's clean. Being dirty is what makes
it
double.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm asking. Is an entendre just speaking? I don't.
It's a good question. Tom doesn't have an answer. Which
I don't.
We've stumped him. We've stumped him.
I think it's because it's probably French, judging on the way the word sounds. So it probably just comes out of a different word that's a foreign word.
Oh, I thought you meant that's why Tom won't answer. He won't speak on French.
No, he's very,
matters.
Yeah.
He's, no.
He has French advertisers on the clip out.
It's Freedom Fries.
Freedom Fries, and I don't want to ruin any potential sponsors.
Okay.
There's some good scares in this movie, though. The alligator scene I thought was really good with tension building. As the alligator, there's a shot overhead of the lake that she's swimming in, and the alligator is getting closer and closer. She doesn't notice it, and she jumps up on the dock right before it gets to her. And then when she runs into Wayne after her interaction with Pearl at the house, that one made my heart rate increase.
Palpitate.
Yeah, I mean, when I did not expect that. And the way she runs into Wayne after that tense meeting, I thought that was really good. There's some good ones.
Yeah, that's again, if you go back and watch his other stuff, this is kind of his bag. Lets it build, and then he gets stuff like this that he just kind of like lets all of the steam out of the pot in the last 45 to 30 minutes.
And he doesn't pull away when the kills come, right? So usually the camera at some point on a death scene, someone gets stabbed and then it cuts away and you see just some blood flying in the background or whatever. But when that camera guy gets stabbed by Pearl, she does it over and over and over, and you see the skin start to come apart, and eventually they didn't show a head roll away on the ground, but basically it is detached by the time she is done.
Well, I don't think it's attached as much as it's just like just muck and mush.
Right, that's what I'm saying, though, is it is hanging on by a string by the time she's done.
Maybe his spine, that's about it.
Yeah.
So I have information on entendres.
Oh, great.
So it's a French word meaning to hear, to understand, or to mean. So when it's double, it just means it has two meanings. So either version of an entendre, clean or come in the back door, whether you mean something dirty or not, if it has one meaning, it's an entendre. When it has two, it becomes double. Would you like to hear about triple entendres?
No freaking way.
Menage
you can triple these bad boys?
Menage entendres. So there's a very famous one that you've probably all seen.
All right.
What's that?
It's the cover of the Rush album Moving Pictures.
How is that a triple entendre?
Because it shows a moving company carrying paintings in and out of a building. They're moving pictures. People are looking at those pictures, and they're tearing up because the pictures are moving.
Pictures. Holy guac. Man, and if then, I smoked weed, I'd be blown.
And then wait for it. Also on that cover, you see a film crew filming the entire thing, making a moving picture.
But there it is. The moving pictures, the sexual.
Yeah. So it's a triple.
I don't think they always have to be sexual, man.
Hey, baby, you want me to do a moving pictures?
So what if someone's
Wait, time out. What is a moving picture, Matt?
Oh, man, you guys have to chicken cluck that whole thing out. I couldn't even begin to tell you on this podcast.
But if someone makes a movie pizza, and that album cover is in the movie, that's a quadruple
entendre.
It'll
be a quadruple entendre.
A quad-dige entendre.
Yes. if they were to use that album cover in the movie Dazed and Confused, boom, it's a quadruple entendre.
Dang.
Now, if you see the making of featurette about that scene, now you've got a quintuple entendre.
Oh, wow.
We should probably, before our brains explode and we are liable for any of the listeners' mental damage, we should probably move on.
Now, if we were to show a picture of that, of that making of featurette while discussing it on the show, sextuple entendre.
Wow. Whoa.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's perfect for this one.
Yeah.
So, Pearl goes in after decapitating the cameraman. Pearl goes inside and finds Maxine sleeping. At this point, Walter has...
She kills Wayne first.
Wayne is out looking for the cameraman and stumbles. I think this is insanely well done, where he's walking through a barn and we see the nail. We know what's coming, and it happens.
Yeah, because we've all seen A Quiet Place.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Anytime you see someone step on a nail now, that's all I can think of.
Yeah. Although this is one of three things I liked in this movie. The sound it made when he stepped on the nail.
The squinch? Yeah.
That was a good sound choice.
Yeah. And as soon as he stepped on it, though, I was like, oh, well, you're dead. Like, that's tetanus. You're not even going to die from the pitchfork to the
tetanus,
eyeball.
That was your
You're
going to
get the rusty nail in the foot in the 1979 in the middle of nowhere. You're dead.
I want a version of this movie where it plays out, he survives the entire thing, but he ends up on his deathbed because of tetanus.
It's kind of like Jack scene on This Is Us, right? Like,
that's exactly
the fire, and then has a heart attack.
He thinks that the cameraman is kind of rolling around outside. He looks down, and Pearl stabs him through the eyeballs with a pitchfork, which I thought was... And then as she pulls back, like, his eyeball pops out.
Yeah, and the rare eyeball like detachment like out of the head and rolled onto the ground a little bit away from him. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was meant to be funny. Is when Pearl walks into the barn and then like tries to cover up Wayne with the hay.
She's
like slowly like picks up with a pitchfork and tries to like throw it on him. And I was like, well, that has to be like intentionally funny.
I'll tell you what, when she did some of these kills, I wasn't sure what she was going to do with them. Given what we know about the character, I was like, where is this going?
Yeah, she's pretty horny.
When she straddles the cameraman, I was like, oh no.
I was like, yikes.
This is not good. Pearl goes into the house and lays down with Maxine. And she doesn't, Maxine doesn't really move because she thinks it's Wayne. Kid Cudi goes downstairs.
Kid Cudi's gone at that point.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, because he's not there. It's just the two women that are there when Pearl wakes
up.
Oh,
that's right. That's right.
Kid Cudi hears a noise and then goes to check it out.
And that's when he finds the old man. Yeah, and he's like, just either Kid Cudi is hung like a horse or they boogie nighted it. I don't know. But there is a massive schlong that is hanging in the shadow. And like, not just stationary. That some bitch was like swinging back and forth.
It was like a grandfather clock.
A grandfather clock.
Kid Cudi.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Kid Cudi is naked for most of this movie. So he's like, hey, It's in my contract. If you're going to show it, I'm at least going to, you know, be able to show it off a little bit.
Right. I do like the way the old man's like, my wife is missing. He was like, okay, like, well, you know, I'll help you go find her. So they get out into the old man and Kid Cudi go out into the...
Which makes no sense. If I was married to that lady, I would not bring the guy with the largest to look for her.
Who's that seems... looks like it goes to his knees.
Yes, that seems well, short-sighted.
I do have a feeling that he's not really bringing him to look for her. I have a feeling he took the guy with the largest long to go murder him.
Okay, that'll allow.
But okay, but that doesn't make any sense, though. Like, if... This whole movie doesn't make sense, but...
Well, what, yeah.
But, I mean, like, if he's willing to capture and keep hostage
right.
Like, the dude, why wouldn't he just use Kid Cudi as well?
Well...
You know what I mean?
I'm guessing Kid Cudi maybe could fight back a little bit more from that. He's old. He doesn't have the ability to capture everybody. I think maybe the hitchhiker guy, you know, maybe he was weak enough to where he could have knocked him out or something, but... Clearly, the two old people are dealing with these two separate things of one, the wife wants something that the husband can't give her, and then the husband is jealous of these young people who the wife is lusting sure, after and can sure. give her, even though they wouldn't or don't want to, but he sees it as she is looking at them in that way, and so he is perfectly happy murdering them. And I think that the hitchhiker guy was being used.
Oh,
you know,
he absolutely was.
So it's like, I agree, you're right from that perspective where that's what was going on, but I just don't think that he had the ability to capture Kid Cudi. I think he had the ability to take him out.
You know? It is pretty odd. They kind of lay it out for you that Kid Cudi was in the Marines. He is in pretty good shape, and he looks right. like it would not be an issue for him to knock this old man out.
That's what I'm saying. The so case. The old man with a surprise shotgun with blast.
He would just pick his up and just hit him on the head with it.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of that. But yeah, so the old man and Kid Cudi go out into the woods. The old man kind of lays a trap for him, thinking that he it had like fallen in the water. As he turns around, the old man shoots Kid Cudi in the chest and knocks him into the water. Before we get to that part, there is a scene with the church mouse where she gets tricked into, you know, goes up to the old man's house, says, I'm looking for my boyfriend. Old man says, I'll help you go find him. Go in the basement. There's a flashlight down there. She goes down there. He locks her in there.
And that is who he was capturing for the wife, because he says, I got the one. And then the wife is like, no, it's not her.
It's
so he doesn't really know. But so he was trying to get her already for the wife.
And they do kind of look similar. Jenna Ortega and...
Yeah, I was having trouble telling them apart.
Yeah. The big defining thing is like the big birthmark.
The freckles,
on Maxine's face. So Maxine wakes up to the old woman in the room, and she is now covered in blood because the old woman was covered in blood. She freaks out. Brittany Snow, Brittany Snow is pretty great in this movie. Like, I think this is a very different character than anything I've seen her in before.
Yeah, I thought she was really good.
Yeah. So she kind of goes out and tries to look for her, and she runs into the old woman on the dock. And the old woman Pearl is not very nice to her. And Brittany Snow, who is, again, like the advantage that they have with this is you spend an hour with these characters and you realize none of them, they're all decent human beings, right? Like,
that's what I like is these characters in this horror movie aren't fodder.
Yeah. Like a Friday the 13th, you get one.
You get the douchebag, you get the boyfriend that's always mean to the final girl, so he's got to die and get his comeuppance. You know, you always get these...
All the time, sometimes.
I'm okay,
nice
Joe, every time I use hyperbole, you don't have to argue against it.
In part 7, actually.
Yeah.
I will say, in the new generation, the guy's not so bad.
Thank you. But so there's
if
all
you
these...
read the comic book.
Actually,
sorry.
The novelization gives you much more detail into the backstory of James, the not boyfriend.
I'm going to start choosing my words much more wisely on this podcast. So there are all these tropes that you get in horror movies. And what I thought was refreshing was that these characters really all are actually given more to do than just being fodder. And they're generally good people. And they're all dealing with different stuff. Like Wayne is not just some jerk who's trying to use these women. Like, he honestly is trying to make them stars and make a ton of money and get them, you know, elevated to the next level and with this new home video market that he mentions. And you've in like Kid Cudi is a former Marine, and he seems like a really good guy, and he's willing to go help Pops and do all this stuff. And then Bobby Lynn, the Brittany Snow character, she is older than the rest of them, and I think that she's kind of the middle, like the in-between age, to where she is starting to kind of be at the point where she is obviously nowhere close to as near as Pearl, but when it comes to adult movies and all that, she's probably closer to aging out or going to be at a point where if she doesn't become a star with this movie, she may not have as many opportunities or be able to work at the club. And I think that this is kind of her holding on to the last opportunity, or seeing it as like this is maybe her, this could be her big break before it's too late.
I like that line from Jenna Ortega where she asks if Kid Cudi and Brittany Snow are boyfriend and girlfriend. And like, it's just like a nice little throwback to something that Jenna Ortega had said before. And she was like, sometimes, maybe.
Yeah. You know?
But it's just like, it's, she's not being it. She's not being a, she's just, I think she's very, she feels very real. All of these characters feel like somebody out of 1979.
When she threw that cleanup rag, it was
questionable. Oh my God. That, well, when she throws she apologizes immediately.
Well, she apologizes, but she also sees where she's throwing it when she does it.
Also,
so there
should
was
say, there's
kind of
a cum shot in this movie.
Post, like, there's post.
Well,
I guess that's true. Yeah,
I wish
there's
there
a, there's definitely like,
don't
which is some. It's just one of those things that in 2022 I wouldn't think that I would ever see in a studio. And I say
A24
though.
Of them.
Yeah,
is that right? Do they
Green,
have more
Green
than one?
Green Knight's got. A
oh,
cum shot.
You're right. They do. That's funny. But yeah, I was just like, oh, that's a giant.
The Green Knight one's more graphic than this one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. This is just like wipe it off her ass.
Antichrist had one.
What did?
Antichrist.
Oh,
he
yeah.
came blood.
Oh, that's true. After he got his mashed.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's one movie that I'm, you know.
Once
Blake,
was enough.
Blake brought that movie up, and I was like, I should probably check that out.
He likes to bring it up because we were at the screening together, and when the lights came up, my the first thing I said was, "Can you go to hell for having seen a movie?"
If you could,
if
that
could,
was the one.
We are doomed.
So Brittany, yeah, they're out on the dock, and she runs into Pearl, and she's being nice. She covers her up, like, because Pearl is naked at this point, and Pearl kind of snaps at her and slaps her and then pushes her into the lake. I guess that's what that is. It's not really a, I don't know. And she and Brittany Snow is immediately gobbled up by the alligator.
Chekhov's alligator.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good scene where like you can see Brittany Snow's head like get chomped on and then into the water.
All the kills. That's the thing, is that for as far as horror movies go and kills, this one's up there. I think they do a really good job. Just like how with the new Scream, they elevated those kills.
Yeah.
Like the other Scream movies aren't usually that graphic.
They just cast, it's either Dylan McDermott or Dermot Mulroney. One of those guys just got cast in the new Scream movie.
Okay.
Whichever one wasn't in the first season of American Horror Story.
Okay,
it's the other
that's
one.
That's funny. All right, man.
It's the other guy.
Who cares?
So then we go back to the house, I think. And Mia, oh, man, another great scene where Jenna Ortega kind of like finds an axe.
I
agree with you. This is the one where I was like, oh, God. Smashes it, you know, kind of does like an homage to The Shining.
It's a Shining, for sure.
Smashes the thing out with the axe. She puts her hand, like, through this hole in the door to unlock it. And as soon as she, like, clicks the lock, here comes the old man with, like, a hammer and just beats the out of her hand.
You know
and
how
it's like,
you can tell that's going to happen is she broke the pane not right next
to
the locks.
Yeah, right. So
she has
to reach
to further. Yeah. So as soon as she did that, I'm like, oh, she knows where those locks are. Why would they ever open? Oh, yep.
And I don't right. know. I don't even know if I'm right about this, but I feel like you could see her fingers.
So she, you know, she kind of pulls back and does Maxine kind of come? I think she comes into the house and it gets. Oh, that's what it is. She's unlocking and she's getting Jenna Ortega out. And Jenna Ortega's like, I should never have come here. Like, you are the worst. I can't believe, you know, just kind of laying it all out. And, oh, God, as she is, like, running out of the house, she takes a shotgun to the face.
Yeah. Another good surprise kill because, you know, and they also turn that other trope. Please, I'm not saying no one's ever done it before, Joe. This is just a preface.
I'll let it go.
Okay. You know, she was kind of the, I don't want to say prude, but, you know, kind of the virgin-esque, clean one of the group. And she mm-hmm. obviously wanted to get into this and kind of prove that she could do it too. And all that stuff would be in a part of the movie. So it almost seemed like she could have been the final girl. Mm-hmm. Like she was hidden away in the basement. Maybe we forget about her till later.
She's also, I think, the biggest star, right? Like we had just seen her in Scream. Like she's kind of like the new thing.
I don't know about like when they were filmed, like, you know what I mean?
As far as
she became one, certainly. So I think you kind of thought, well, maybe she's going to be the final girl. We forget about her in the basement. She's hurt, but not killed. And nope. That surprise shotgun blast was really good to take you out of that.
And so Maxine is in the house the entire time and she's hearing everybody talk. And I do like the line when the old man and Pearl are at the dock and he was like, which one was that? And she was like, you know, I don't like blondes, which I was like, what's the random lie? I was like, okay.
So she goes, well, they'll never find me under the bed and they're never going to use this bed. It'll be the perfect hiding place.
And then they have sex on the bed.
The old couple finally.
Finally, finally get it done.
I will say there are some touching moments in this movie. Like, this is a horror film. There's lots of killing and there's lots of the porn filming and all that stuff where you're just like, yeah, this is just kind of this gross, dirty horror movie. But right. when Pearl is having these dramatic moments where she is brushing her hair and getting all dressed up, I think they actually did a really good job with the character development of Pearl and the hurt she's going through and trying to dress up for her husband. And the husband rejects her and says, I can't do that. And the hurt that she feels. And then they have this heart to heart together where he's like, you know, I can't do that. And she's talking about how she still wants him. And he says, well, I do, but I can't. And, you know, I don't know. It's weird to have this touching moment in between all these kills.
It's like, I'll give it a shot. I'll throw you a bone and see what
happens.
It's
obviously gross Double and attention. Played for, yeah. You know, it's gross. Like to us, we're like, oh God. And then Maxine is hiding under the bed while it's going on and all that. Ugh. But you know, the moments are actually well handled in between.
Old people are disgusting. The message loud and clear.
Got it.
They should not touch. They should not feel emotions.
They should just exist.
Yeah.
I do. to play off of that too, though, obviously, you know, they're trying to get you with all the gross out and all that in between. But it also is a interesting reminder from seeing the old pictures and stuff. Old people were young once. I think we forget about that sometimes in everyday life that, you know, we're young now and we're thinking, oh, we'll be young forever. And those old people are so old. But think about when you were a teenager.
I gotta
and
tell
someone,
you, 40 did not seem like it was in my future.
That's what I'm, well, but when you were a teenager, right? Someone who was 40 was ancient.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was old person. Yeah. And now you're 40 and you're like,
that's not so bad.
I think that is right. That is truly one of the points of the movie that they're making this movie about sex that is strictly pleasurable visually and I guess like sort of carnally pleasing. But then these old people who don't have, they're not physically attractive anymore, but it's an emotional level. And
they're still people, right?
You know,
they're still people.
Do you take that part of it for granted and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, it does. Again, the movie is not just a slasher horror film. It's saying a lot about age, about youth, about potential and missed opportunities. And so that is part of it.
If you do it when you're old, you'll kill people.
Yeah.
See, that is the message. Yeah. You finally cracked the code. That's
old people are disgusting, and that's okay.
As long as they're with other old, disgusting
people. Thank you. Yeah.
That's why we have homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AARP is never going to share this podcast. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have they shared any of ours?
No. I feel like I'm not that old.
So that's fair. You haven't gotten it in the mail yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're devising this plan, the old couple, where the old man says, drag her into the house. If she's inside, we can say that she broke in and it's justified. And in my head, I was like, but there's blood everywhere.
I know. The cleanup has got to be horrendous.
We should say
and there's like four other dead people to explain
that aren't in the house.
Well, because the old guy goes, oh, yeah, I'll feed him to the gator. But it's like, you have a lot of cleaning to do.
Yeah.
And the gator's also full already.
Yeah, right. He ate a whole Britney Snow.
Larry's full.
We should say the beginning of this movie.
Alvin.
Warren. Alvin.
I was trying to do a callback to when you said the alligator's name and I screwed it up. Larry, what the hell's that?
Just, that's show's canceled. Matt, you're gone.
I get, well, you know, you screw up one too many times.
That's true.
Entendre. Okay, go ahead.
Quadruple entendre. Which is, at the beginning of this movie, it is like we see the aftermath of whatever has occurred. And I think I like the way that's filmed, where you've got the axe, the bloody axe on the ground. Mm-hmm. You've got the a body under a tarp, and the guy, the sheriff walks into the room and he's just like, oh my God.
Chekhov's basement. There's it is all foreshadowed. Right, right. And I really like the opening shot of this film is coming out of the barn, and it's a 4:3 to widescreen aspect ratio change. This is a beautiful way, since so much of this film is shot like a 4:3 old, the porno movies being filmed in the 4:3. And so I really like that opening too. There's a lot of really good visuals.
As the old man is trying to drag Jenna Ortega back into the house, she kind of gasps or lets out some air and then gives him a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I do like where the old woman's, Pearl's like, you got to help him. And Mia kind of comes around the, not Mia, Maxine comes around the corner and she's like, you got to help him. And she was like, no, I don't have to help him.
That's psychos. Great. Like, I don't care.
And this is the other, the Chekhov's gun, where Maxine has the pistol from the van and she goes to shoot Pearl. But of course, Wayne was telling the truth and there are no bullets in it, unlike the shotgun that has a second round in it. And of course it knocks Pearl out of the door.
Oh man, yeah,
the second thing in this movie I liked.
You like the way she just like
goes
catapulted out of
the
door.
Yeah. Yes.
And we should say the entire time this movie is kind of it's narrated by a televangelist who's kind of giving you a play by play of what's happening. And I think this was the best use of it, where Pearl pulls the trigger on the shotgun, knocks her out the door, and of course he's like,
that was
divine intervention.
That was good. Who called it from the beginning that she was the girl that lost her way?
I didn't even think about it.
I didn't care enough to analyze.
Oh, as soon as, because the preacher in the beginning, like just said, the whole thing has kind of this background narration of this preacher, and they keep showing him, so you know that it's got to be important. There's got to be some kind of connection. And in the beginning, he says, you know, some of my flock has lost their way and been taken away to the evils of blah, blah, blah. And then they cut to, in the beginning of the movie, to Maxine getting ready. And so I'm like, oh, it's his daughter. So I don't know. I just wondered if anyone else.
You're smarter than us, Kevin. Good job.
I just am saying, sometimes we call this stuff.
So Mia, nope, that's the actress's name. Maxine.
Yeah, she's both of them at this point.
So. Correct. Yes, that's true.
Runs herself over.
Well, which is just a great, where she's like, help. And she, you know, backs the van up over Pearl's face and then goes over her. And just to be safe, I do appreciate the double tap, backs over her again and then takes off. And
what does she say? She has a kill line, though, of something from earlier that she calls back.
I mean, her line is like, I'm going to be famous, or nothing's going to stop me from being famous.
I think she says, see you later, alligator.
Yeah, there it is. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So
that
cool.
Would have been great.
And then the alligator's in the passenger seat and it puts its sunglasses on.
And says,
yes!
After a while,
this
crocodile.
Is Any Which Way But Loose Part 3.
Yeah.
Is what it turns out
to be. Oh, my gosh. They should have. What if the alligator was on top of the car driving away with her and then it just ends?
Oh, it pops up in the back seat with a knife.
Yes. Oh, my God.
But you're saying about they show sort of the aftermath in the opening, in the beginning of the movie. And it was, he goes up to old lady's body, the sheriff, and it's a bloody mess under the sheet. He kind of lifts it up. He's grossed out. And that was kind of cool because she gets knocked out onto the ground and she breaks her hip. She's like, ah, my hip. And you kind of think she's going to just leave her there.
No.
But, you know, you're going like, but wait a second, that sheet was all... This is just an interesting, well, what's she going to do to this lady to turn
make her bloody?
Well, and the sheriff came in the beginning and said, now don't get ahead of yourself, and put his sunglasses on.
Yep.
No, he didn't. But he does have a great line at the end.
No, I wouldn't say a great line. Oh, my God.
I love this line.
This
it's so good. I loved it. Where, like, you know, one of the deputies is like, hey, boss, we found this video camera. What do you think's on it? And he's like, the most fucked up horror movie I've ever seen. And then credits. I think this was great.
Which would have been more clever if the cameraman filmed any of the horror?
I guess that's right. True. Yeah, yeah, there's none of the horror that's on that camera.
It doesn't work. The movie is just a porno movie. That's all the camera guy filmed. So, like,
that's true.
It can't tie together as a found footage movie at all.
No, but so here's the deal.
So what did he mean? That line was stupid.
It was just for us. It's just like, for us. I haven't hated the last time a movie that much since the movie Doubt. Which I love the movie Doubt. I thought it was so good when I watched it. I'm like, this is like Oscar level stuff. And then the last line of the movie, oh, I have such doubt. I'm like, we get it.
Which that checks out because Doubt came out after The Departed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Brat stands for obviousness. Like, oh.
So while they were filming this, I believe that they went either while they were filming it or right after they were done. They are going in. They went right into a prequel that's going to be about Pearl in the 1920s.
They're Annabelle in it.
Yes, they are Annabelle in it. Well, depends on which Annabelle they do, I guess. Like there was the first one that wasn't that good, and then
the second one was okay.
Second one was all right.
Second one was much better than the first one, that's for sure.
Pearl Creation.
Pearl Creation is what's on the horizon. So they're doing I don't know how much second. Well,
it's more ZZ Top
Pearls,
for you.
They're well, not in the 1920s. That's going to be awkward.
Oh, they don't care. They put that milk carton picture.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. No, I think this was. I know that Tom did not enjoy it, but I think this
it was a good looking movie. I just didn't care about anything. And why are these old people killers? Like, why?
They're horny.
I don't get it. And then like
well,
the whole, and then
they
just
to
happen
killers.
To be watching the televangelist. That's the.
That's on every channel.
That's the dad of the girl. Like it's
yeah.
That's a pretty big coincidence to hang your movie on. You know.
That's well, fair. I take it as that they're older and they probably have different like religion for them is just something that they have on. Like I don't know. They didn't have that many channels back then, right? They're on an old black and white TV and it's just playing
four, maybe.
Yeah, they have four or five, maybe. But just the odds that they would be watching this thing, I just would need some through line to make that make sense as to why they happen to be watching.
Why this guy is on every channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like I can't decide if I like this movie or not because I'm not sure what I want people to think about me. I don't know if I want them to think I'm cool and like cool arty movies or that maybe they'll think I'm being pretentious by saying I like it. So I'll tell you in a couple weeks after
after the response.
I read what people say on the internet about it and stuff and decide how I want to be perceived.
I will say, Matt, this has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes with 198 reviews, so you would not be in the minority by saying you liked it.
Because there is a part of me that's like, you know, we're saying all the stuff that it's saying, and you know, I think it is. But like when it's cutting back and forth between the cows and the people, and there's times when it kind of feels like it's being like, "Do you get it? And see, see what we're doing?"
I agree.
And you're like, yes, I do. Don't I? I mean, right? Like,
I thought
well, even
I
the
did,
music cues, right?
Myself.
Like the you know where you get "Don't Fear the Reaper," which is like the most obvious music cue, and then the closing credits are "Bad Case of Loving You,"
right?
And it's like,
I wonder if the "Don't Fear the Reaper" is a callback to Halloween because that's what Laurie and Annie are listening to. The
I
first
think
time.
"Don't Fear the Reaper" is just a really affordable song.
That could be. Because
it gets
I mean, if
used
they put it in
a
Halloween,
lot.
That's true.
I mean, it was used in the made-for-TV version of The Stand. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like, it just gets used. I think he quotes it in the book, though. So, But, and also, like, that book was written in, like, what, 80 or 81? So it was a lot more prevalent.
I'll say, too, like, while we were watching it, it is saying a little more than most horror movies, and that's very cool, whatever. But we were also kept kind of being like, they're building it up and building it up. And you're like, oh, man, what's it going to be? What's the thing? Oh, man. We at one point did think maybe they were werewolves.
Okay.
I thought maybe it was a time travel thing. I thought Pearl and Maxine were the same people.
I thought that we were going that way for a while, too. Yeah.
Oh, that Pearl and the old man were Wayne and...
Yeah.
Something like no. that. I thought that okay. as well. Okay. Or something. And then for it to be like... Because I feel like whether it means to or not, it's definitely making you think those things. Like the way they're setting it up it's like they're saying, hey, don't you want to figure it out? Like, they're almost setting up like a mystery that you're trying to...
It's a puzzle box. Like, it's a puzzle box.
And then it's... It, you turn the puzzle box over and it just says like, there's a big open button on it and there's no puzzle at all. And it's just is what it is. It's like, oh, just old people killing people.
That's the hard thing with these movies that we're seeing more and more of these movies that some people call elevated horror. And obviously some people hate that term, but you keep expecting more and more and more. And sometimes you just want a good old fashioned slasher flick. And so when those lines are blurred, it's kind of hard because you as a viewer, you're fine with just checking, sitting back and checking your brain and watching it. But this movie does seem to present more. And so you're like, you don't know, right? You don't know. Am I looking for a mystery? Should I not be thinking about it?
Yeah, I think I would have enjoyed this movie if it tried to be less.
If it was just a straight up slasher flick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't mind the term elevated horror. I think that's a true statement. I think that there are some times where, like Tom said, where you're just going to make a straight up slasher movie.
Yeah.
Right. You don't need to say anything. You're just going to go in and have some fun with some good special effects and some good kills. But Midsommar is not like a typical horror movie. Right. Hereditary is not a typical horror movie. Us or Get Out are not typical horror films. Like, that's not...
We all know what you mean when you say elevated horror. I think people just don't like it because it's derogatory towards normal horror and then saying, well, it's lesser because it's not elevated, which you don't mean it that way, but people that probably make those films are like, but mine is still, like, mine's not lesser horror, right?
I don't know, but you mean, it's like, you have that with any genre. You mean, you have, you know, art rock, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pink Floyd, Emerson,
who are just, doing something
like
different.
It's okay. They can both be fun, you know.
Yeah,
In some ways, and I watched it last night, so I actually am truly not, you know, I need a little bit to think about it probably more, in some ways I do feel like it's like it went too far one way and then not enough.
Yeah,
to go all the way.
Do you think they went too far and then maybe they tried to course correct and just couldn't get it back, or do you think they just...
I think maybe they didn't know.
I feel like they made the movie they wanted to make. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. That they're going to do all this, the setup, and then have a payoff in the very, very end.
Right.
But I feel like maybe unintentionally they set up expectations for something, maybe not even more, but just different. When it's just
I feel like ultimately they paid off the wrong question, right? Like the question I had the whole time was, why do these old people kill people?
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, boom, she's the preacher's daughter. And I'm like, a question I didn't ask. Like, I never, throughout the movie, was like, well, who is she?
That's her dad, though.
And
why are they killing them? Boom, preacher's daughter.
Yeah, well, so that, just
that,
like,
that give whole me thing.
Some, give me some insight that, as to why they're doing this.
Yeah.
Well, there's a prequel.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to see another movie to figure that out.
Which is funny,
man.
Too, because same as you, Tom, I'm kind of asking the whole time, like, I'm interested to find this out, why they're doing it. And then when their answer is, how about a whole movie, then I'm like, well, no, that's okay. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you just tell us that this is what this couple's like a Bonnie and Clyde, and they've just been doing this since the 1920s, and this is what they do, I think that's a reasonable answer, and just leave it as is.
Yeah.
Right. Just say they're serial killers that have been at this and they're, you know, now they're living in this remote Texas town and nobody cares about the people.
But see, I don't think they are killers until this. See, I think they kidnapped the one dude. Well, right. But
not a lifetime of.
Yeah. I think that was the first one. I think their marriage has gotten to this point of deteriorating. He, you know, they can't get it on anymore. Pearl wants something else, but she still loves Walter, whatever his name is, but it just doesn't work anymore. And so he tried to maybe do something for her so that she could do what she wants to do. But, you know, he's also jealous of it at the same time. And I think it eventually devolved into killing. Like, Pearl, the last straw was that camera dude saying no, and her realizing how she's being rejected now by not only her husband, but by anyone else who won't even look at her. And so that was the last straw. And then I think they became killers. So I don't see this as old as time.
Like, I can only get an erection if I kill a drifter. We've all been there.
And you know that, Joe, we talked in the Texas Chainsaw stuff, I like in that you don't really have a motive.
You know, because they keep changing it.
Well, sure, right. But I don't know. It's kind of like a movie sets up the expectations you have. And this one definitely had me questioning that. Like, oh, why are they doing this? What's their deal?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, a mindless killing machine is okay, but it needs to be established from the get-go, not presented as like, what's this all about? Oh, it's just a mindless killing machine. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Or if she's like, you could say that she, well, now we're right in the movie, but I guess we'll find out, well, I will find out when Pearl comes out.
Yeah, I think that is a question that obviously, well, he made the movie, so Ty West wanted to explore and does have his own reason, but there just wasn't enough to get into it here, so I will be interested to see it.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you enjoy this movie, I'm sure you've already seen his other stuff, but yeah, VHS 1 and 2, I think. The Innkeeper is The Sacrament, the House of the Devil. All three of those, The Sacrament, House of the Devil, and The Innkeepers, I think are fantastic movies. Same deal, very slow burn, and then a pretty horrific payoff at the end.
Okay. I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the virtual table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and subscribe to The Games We Love for all your video gaming discussions.
And Matt, where can they find you?
Well, man, that's an interesting question. I believe it's been announced, it's been talked about, and I was so excited for it. I was to come on this podcast and discuss the series of films, The Evil Dead.
We're still doing it.
And
it's
Joe,
still going to happen.
Joe, please. And as far as I've heard nothing more of this. It's been weeks and weeks. And
we're going to get into, there's 2 episodes of a Patreon that haven't been released yet.
Okay, man. I mean, I'm just saying, I was just so excited and I haven't heard nothing.
Does anyone even care about Evil Dead? That Doctor Strange movie came out a month ago. is there even a point in it anymore?
We're doing it for the streaming release of Doctor
Strange.
Yeah,
right, which is coming up. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I guess...
At this rate, you'll do it for its premiere on the USA Network.
Keep an eye out for me on the Real Spoilers Patreon. That's all that matters to me, and that's all I care about.
Okay, well, we will put Matt back in his puzzle box until he does 15 more Patreon episodes. Mm-hmm. And then, not unlike this puzzle box, he will come out, and it will not be a satisfying conclusion at all.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, and you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon, where you can get your fill of Matt F. Basel. So, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Roller Girl gets her GED. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.